Starting today, only two letters of recommendations are required. So, and the letter of invitation is not required for a majority of awards in Europe and Eurasia. So we do have four distinct award types, so you can know the difference. We have the Scholar Award, the Postdoctoral Award, the Distinguished Scholar Award, and the International Education Administrator Award for administrators. And we have also a very popular opportunity, the professional project option. So this is open more for independent professionals and for artists and other scholars. And we have the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship that offers an opportunity for early career professionals to do their project in one of these four countries listed here. And I wanted to encourage you all also to attend our office hours, and we're going to start the first office hour is going to be for Europe and Eurasia on March 1st, and we will hold weekly these office hours every Monday from 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be hosting them and just answering your questions on a weekly basis, so I really encourage you. And of course, we do have our email address, which you're going to see in every slide of our next slides, and you can always reach out to us with any questions, and please attend webinars whenever you can. And regarding the program highlights, so basically this year, Europe and Eurasia is represented in 44 countries, from Ireland to Azerbaijan. So we do have so many countries that partner with the Fulbright program and offer great opportunities. We have 227 awards in Europe and Eurasia region with over 450 grants. We do offer also the Flex option in 28 awards, and Flex option is an opportunity for a scholar to do multiple visits within the span of 2 years. So you go back and forth in the country, and there are like grant parameters and times are different for every country. You want to look at those specifics, but this is a great opportunity as well. And we do offer the multi-country research through the Fulbright Schumann Awards, which we're going to tell you more about that, the public policy program to Ukraine as part of the Europe and Eurasia. So in Ukraine, you can select one of the countries, and the regional travel program. So there is this annual conference that you can apply to and attend this annual conference that is held in Berlin. And I just wanted here to highlight some of the disciplines that are offered in Europe and Eurasia. The STEM fields are offered in so many countries, so look them up in United Kingdom, France, Spain, Austria, Poland, and so many other countries. And then cybersecurity is also a popular discipline as part of the Fulbright program, so they are specifically offered in these countries, in Poland, Romania, Iceland, United Kingdom, Austria, and Estonia. And then we do have medical sciences with partnership universities in the UK, Ireland, Spain, and Hungary. TEFL is offered in Turkey, Russia, Kosovo, Hungary, Latvia, and Slovenia. And then professional projects, which are open also to independent professionals, and are offered in Albania, Austria, Azerbaijan, Bulgaria, Cyprus, Finland, Georgia. And then U.S. studies are offered in Denmark, Italy, Norway, and Romania. But these are just some of the highlights, because I want to just dive deeper into the Western European countries, where starting with United Kingdom, which is the country with the largest number of awards in Europe. All the awards are partnerships with some of the most prestigious UK institutions like Oxford, Sheffield, Leeds, Manchester, and many other educational institutions, except for the Fulbright Cybersecurity Award in the UK, that it is open to affiliate with any institution in the UK. Spain offers an all-discipline award for senior level of scholars and one for junior level of scholars, so for early career. And Spain offers partnership opportunities with some amazing universities like Salamanca, La Laguna, Murcia, Malaga, and many others. Germany has an all-discipline award, which also includes the flex option, and then they do offer also an IEA award for administrators, so that's a two-week opportunity for administrators to do their project in Germany. And Germany offers a great resource on the award description. You will see the Ministry of Education that lists all the accredited institutions of higher education. So that's a first start when you start looking for a potential host in Germany. France offers the All Discipline Award and three regional awards in North, Southwest, and East of France. They offer two postdoctoral awards and one award for senior level of scholars, plus an IEA award for administrators. Portugal also has an all-discipline award and four other partnership awards with well-known universities like Polytechnic Institute of Lisbon, Institute for Sea and Atmosphere, etc. So just some of the highlights here. And moving on to Central Europe with Austria, which is also the second largest country that offers diverse opportunities in Europe with STEM fields, arts residency, at the Museum Quartier, American Studies. We do have awards in diplomacy, in psychology, and so many great other awards. Czech Republic has seven awards with offerings in Distinguished Scholar Awards, and one which is an open-ended and all-discipline award and a new recent postdoc opportunity. Hungary is also offers very diverse opportunities with some of their most well-known universities in STEM, American Studies Partnership Awards dominating for Hungary. Italy also has several awards, plus they also have two Schumann Awards that are hosted in Florence. Other awards are focused on STEM fields, and we do have one in all discipline. So we do offer these all discipline awards in many cases, but we also have opportunities in specific highlighted disciplines and also specific partnership awards. And then if those universities offer your discipline, then that could be an acceptable discipline, but you always want to look for the specifics in these offerings. Poland has eight awards in STEM fields, media and cybersecurity, and four Distinguished Scholar Awards. Slovak Republic also has two awards focusing on economics, American studies, IT. Slovenia offers one discipline award in American Studies, Political Science, and in TEFL. Now I'd like to invite my colleague Jacqueline to tell us more about the Nordic countries.
Thank you, Aphrodita. All countries in this region offer opportunities for scholars across a wide range of experience, from early career to more senior academics and everything in between. As is the case for many of our programs, most grant activity can be conducted in English. All of these countries offer all disciplines awards, plus some unique opportunities that are specific to fields or institutions within a given country. For example, in Finland, there is a wide range of awards, many of which are focused in STEM in some capacity or are specific to certain institutions. In Sweden, in addition to all disciplines award, there is also Distinguished Scholar Awards for more senior academics in fields like alternative energy technology, public international law, as well as U.S. studies. Denmark is the smallest of these programs, so it's more of a boutique program. And in addition to the All Disciplines Award, there is a Distinguished Scholar Award in American Studies. So as you can see, in this region within Europe, U.S. or American Studies is a field that's in high demand. In addition to that, in Norway, there are specific awards for international courts and tribunals, which is kind of a unique opportunity based in Oslo, as well as an Arctic Distinguished Scholar Award, which is for faculty for all areas related to the Arctic region. It's not specific to hard sciences, which is a common misconception. Finally, in Iceland, there are some unique options as well, including polar law, cybersecurity, as well as a joint award with Greece, which allows scholars to explore economic crisis management. And for this thing in particular, scholars would split their time between Greece and Iceland to look at this, just to look at this area of study. And with that, I'm going to pass it back to Aphrodita.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Moving on to Eastern Europe, where there's so many diverse opportunities, diverse discipline focus. And again, just to remind you that we do have a majority of these countries will offer the old discipline award, but then they also have some priorities. Every country has different priorities and they have different priority disciplines. Like in Albania, we do have the old discipline award, but then they're innovative. Every year, they will change the focus of their two different awards. Like this year, the focus is on media literacy and another award on judicial training. Bosnia and Herzegovina, they do have an old discipline award, but their focus in discipline is in law, education, religious studies, veterinary, and mass communication. Bulgaria has two awards. And a new award this year, so special award in journalism and strategic communication. So as you can see, communication is quite a priority for this region. And they offer the old discipline award, which is also open to artists, and PhD is not required. Croatia has an old discipline award with an open-ended. You can do teaching or research in any discipline, but they have a list of their universities and potential hosts. They do offer this resource on the award. The same with Greece. They do offer you to be creative and to select your discipline. But again, as long as the host institution has a possibility to host you, and as long as this discipline is feasible in this country. Kosovo has one award in old discipline, in a few preferred disciplines, and another award, which is a high-profile award, at the Ministry of Education and Science. So this is an opportunity to have a great impact and working directly with the Ministry of Education on their higher education policies. And by the way, also Kosovo celebrates Independence Day today. So North Macedonia has one old discipline open-ended, and then with their preferred institutions and public universities mostly, and then one rule of law, judicial reform, and civil society award. Romania with four awards, they do have a preference with one of their awards offerings in media literacy, cybersecurity, and one in economics. And then they do offer also a few partnership awards with their prestigious universities. Turkey has nine awards, one old discipline, and then their priority for the other various awards falls into TEFL Economics, American Studies, STEM, and they are offering this year a new postdoctoral award. Now, Kim will tell us more about Eurasia and their awards.
Thank you, Aphrodita. Let's start with Armenia. Armenia is offering an all disciplines award with the option of research, teaching, or the combination of both. Azerbaijan is offering an all disciplines award with the flex option that Aphrodita mentioned earlier, and a terminal degree is not required. Belarus is offering two awards, economics and business administration, and an all disciplines award. This award is open to early career and mid-career academics. Next, we have Georgia. Georgia is offering two awards, one in STEM and one all disciplines. And the all disciplines is open to artists, early career, mid-career, professionals, and senior level academics. Moldova is offering one all disciplines award with the flex option. And finally, Russia is offering six awards, featuring one all disciplines award and one community college award for administrators and one for faculty.
Thank you, Kim. And now I would like to invite Jacqueline to tell us more about the Fulbright-Schumann Awards.
Thank you, Aphrodita. Managed by the Fulbright Commission in Belgium, Fulbright-Schumann Awards are a unique opportunity within the U.S. Scholar Program, allowing faculty and professionals to explore policy-oriented research that's focused on either EU affairs or the relationship between the United States and the European Union. again, compared, because this is a regional program for excuse me, for people who are conducting research that's pertaining to the entire EU, there is actually a separate website that we've listed here. If this interests you, I would encourage you to take a look, because there's more program details as well as some profiles of alumni from previous years, so that can give you an idea of the kinds of projects that have been funded in the past. You'll see that innovation and EU affairs awards allow for travel to two EU member states for research. By contrast, the European University Institute opportunities will fund both postdoctoral scholars as well as more senior academics to be based at this institution, which is in Florence in Italy. All awards allow for projects that are 3 to 9 months, and again, are kind of a really specific opportunity to look at EU affairs. With that, I'd like to pass it back to my colleague, Aphrodita.
Thank you, Jacqueline. And I just wanted to highlight here that the International Education Administrator Awards are offered this year in France, Germany, and Russia. So France is just like a 10 days opportunity in October for senior level administrators. And they do require that administrators have at least 5 years of experience. Germany has an opportunity for 2 weeks in October or November for full-time administrators, career services, alumni who are the staff that are working also on development and fundraising. Whereas Russia, it is a 2 weeks opportunity in April for only community college administrators. And if you have any questions, you can always email us at ia@iie.org for more specifics. And here is information about new awards that countries have offered for 2022-23 competition cycle. And just as a reminder, we are going to also take questions at the end. So I see that we do have some questions. My colleagues are trying to answer them, but we will also answer them at the end. Albania offers the judicial training and improving media and information literacy awards. So these are brand new awards. Bulgaria offers the journalism and strategic communication award. So again, focusing on communication as part of this region. And then in Poland, we do have a focus of teaching at the Faculty of Architecture. In Turkey, we do have a postdoc opportunity and also a Fulbright Distinguished Scholar Award. And lastly, UK is bringing back an old partner that used to partner with Fulbright, University of Leeds, which offers the Distinguished Scholar Award. Now, Kimberly, if you can tell us more about the postdoc award.
Sure. Thank you, Aphrodita. So there are 5 postdoc award opportunities, and starting with France. France is offering a postdoc award in social sciences. Grantees may conduct research in their area of specialization. Next, we have Spain. Spain is offering in all disciplines with the option to conduct research and collaborate with colleagues at any of the Spanish institutions. And lastly, we have the Czech Republic is offering an all disciplines award with the option of conducting research and teaching in your area of specialization.
Thank you, Kimberly. So if you can tell us more about also the special feature for these awards and some of the requirements.
Sure, thank you. So limited awards require French, Spanish, or Portuguese language proficiency, and levels may vary by country or award. Also, the regional travel program is an added benefit, and it allows grantees to travel to other countries to attend the conference, workshop, or give a lecture without the research component.
Great, thank you so much. Again, like Kimberly said, not English is not required for many of these countries in Europe and Eurasia, but just like a few specific countries will require that. And then again, I would like to invite Kimberly to tell us more about the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship, specifically in Ukraine.
Sure. So the Public Policy Fellowship offers early and mid-career professionals and practitioners in a public policy-related field the opportunity to serve in placements in foreign governments or ministries. And as Aphrodita said, Ukraine is an option, but we also have Burma, Cote d'Ivoire, and Peru as options as well. And fellows will serve as technical specialists, and they'll be supervised by the host government official.
Thank you. And now, Kimberly, if you can give us a tour of our website and the catalog of awards so that applicants can directly see and learn how to navigate our website.
Sure, absolutely. So at this time, we will be doing the guided tour of the website and the catalog. So I'm going to start with our homepage of CIES.org, and I'm going to scroll down, and for the purpose of this walkthrough, I'm only going to focus on the U.S. Scholar section, but I would like to point out the additional areas to my right that include non-U.S. Scholars and U.S. Institution section, which features our institutional opportunities. So I'm going to click on Fulbright U.S. Scholar Awards. So starting with the overview tab, scholars are able to determine how to select the best award. On this page, we categorize our awards by Fulbright Scholar Awards, which comprise of the bulk of the awards offered in our catalog, and it includes opportunities for professionals, artists, and scholars at all career levels. Next, we feature Fulbright Distinguished Scholar Awards, which are the most prestigious appointments in the Fulbright Scholar Program. And we then feature our postdoc awards for scholars. And finally, the Fulbright International Administrator Awards, which are open to international education professionals and senior higher ed officials. And if I scroll down just a little bit more, applicants can learn more about selecting the most appropriate activity. As you can see, we featured teaching, research, and the combination of teaching and research, and the professional project. So I'm going to scroll back up to eligibility. And on this tab, applicants may scroll down to read about the different categories surrounding eligibility. So we have U.S. citizenship, residency abroad, degree and experience, etc. So I'm going to move over to the application tab. And so the application tab allows applicants to review their eligibility, find an award, review our resources, such as the different components of the application, and step four is going to be the actual application itself. So I'm going to skip over to the next tab. The review criteria gives an overview of the selection criteria, so I definitely encourage everyone to read through this. It talks about experience, background, qualities of projects, impact, outcomes, and benefits. So I'm going to scroll back up. Here's the timeline of the competition. As we've mentioned, the application is now live, and the deadline is September 15th of this year. And this page just goes through the different phases of the application process with the timeline. So I'm going to scroll back up. And finally, our FAQ section provides answers to our commonly asked questions. The great thing about it is it's categorized by general questions, questions regarding review and selection, and the different types of grant activities. So for example, if I'm clicking on general, it will give me all of the general questions about how to start an application, when will it open, interaction with your home institution, things of that nature. So I am going to toggle back to application, and now we are going to actually walk through an award in our awards catalog. So as you can see, you can search by region, specific country, or discipline. So for the purpose of this walkthrough, let's just leave it blank and search all awards. So if you do not filter it out, you'll see the total number of awards that are offered, which is 411. And on the left-hand side, you have the option of further filtering. Again, you can filter by region, country, if you're looking at multiple countries, discipline, award type, activity, grant length, degree requirement, invitation letter, and career profile. So I do want to point out, if you don't happen to see your discipline listed here, you can always type it into the chat box. So for this walkthrough, I think that I'm going to search by country, and I'll select Albania as my country, and we'll leave all of the other filters in place. So when I selected the specific country, all awards for that particular country have populated. So I'm going to click on the All Disciplines Award. So the first thing that I will note is the award number is here at the top. This is an All Disciplines Award for Albania. And while the contents of each award are going to be different, there are going to be the same four tabs. So your award details, award requirements, stipend and benefits, and country and area overview. So in the award activity area, this is going to give you an overview of what the responsibilities are going to be for grantees. In this particular case, the expectation is to teach courses at the undergrad or grad level, conduct research. I'm going to scroll down just a tad bit. It indicates scholars selected for this award will be required to, and then it will list out the responsibilities. So again, each award is different, but this area of award activity will give you the general, general guidance of what the expectation is. Award length, this is going to be the duration of your grant. Oftentimes I am asked, what if you're not available for the full duration? So let's say in this case, the length is 4 to 5 months. If you were only available for 3 or 2, this wouldn't be an appropriate award for you. Unfortunately, you're not able to deviate away from the published award months. So next we have award dates and locations. Location is the section that will contain information about your host institutional options. So here it provides different institutions, and it looks like there's a hyperlink to the institution itself. The flex option is a possibility for this award, and underneath, this award features the flex grant parameters. But again, I definitely encourage you to read the award thoroughly, as the requirements are going to be different for each award. Under discipline type, this award does publish the disciplines and areas of interest that they are seeking. And the special features section, this is going to be different for each award, but this section is generally where embassy contact information could be published, or if there is a housing benefit or any type of additional engagement pieces they would like for you to engage in, it's going to be listed here in the special feature section. Let's go over to our next tab of award requirements. As you can see, the letter of invitation is optional. And if you scroll down a little bit, the great thing about this award is while the award is, I'm sorry, the letter of invitation is optional, they do provide information regarding the embassy that they're able to assist you with trying to secure contacts for a host institution. So again, if you're reading the entirety of your award, you may find that there are resources available to help you secure the contact information for a host institution. Language proficiency is not required, but there is some additional information regarding the language requirement. And here's a little more information about the applicant profile. And scrolling down under additional comments, this particular award does list out host institutions, contacts, and their email address. So this is very helpful in that case. And also they provide additional helpful links for institutions and the Higher Ed Quality Assurance Agency. So scrolling over to our next tab, stipend and benefits. This is going to range by award. This is just the general range of what to expect in terms of your monthly stipend, research allowances. If there is any type of dependent tuition allowance or benefits, it will be listed in this section. And finally, the country and area overview tab. This varies by country, but generally this section will give you an overview of the country, what to expect, the culture, or sometimes the academic calendars within institutions. So I do want to point your attention to the right now. As we've said throughout this presentation, the deadline is Wednesday, September 15, 2021. If I scroll down a little bit more, I'll see activity type. So you'll see a list of appropriate activities that are available for this particular award. And the great thing is, if you hover and click on the question mark, you can see a description of the actual activity. So I'm going to scroll down. Also important areas to look at: degree requirements. I see that a PhD or terminal is not required. And career profile, you'll see the types of profiles that are eligible to apply for this award. And the same thing, if you hover and click on the question mark, you'll see a description of what we consider to be early career, as well as the other career profiles. Number of recipients, up to one. This is generally an estimate. And program staff person. So each award is assigned a program staff person. So if you have any questions or concerns with the award or Fulbright in general, you can always email us here at the email that's listed. As Aphrodita mentioned, we will be starting our office hours the week of March 1st. So you can always find a button in any award to join an office hour. So I encourage you to click on the button. You can go through the prompt of signing up. It's a one-hour session where we can answer any questions that you may have about your award. So I'm going to scroll back up. I'm going to click on Fulbright, and then I'm going to click on Fulbright Scholar Program, which will take me back. So before I go, I just wanted to point out some important areas. So I just clicked on News and Events. So if you scroll down on the far left, you'll see recent Fulbright news. So this is a great place to keep up with Fulbright and see what's going on. In the middle, we have our recent blog posts by some of our alumni. So these are some very interesting reads. So I do encourage you to check them out if you do have a chance. And then finally, join my Fulbright. So I'm going to click on this. So joining or connecting with Fulbright, this is a great place to register your interest. So if you scroll down, select register, you're able to sign up and you'll be notified with any updates regarding Fulbright, our webinar schedules, or any other helpful resources. You can also select refer a colleague if you have any colleagues that you feel would be a great fit for Fulbright. And again, circling back to the office hour, you can also connect with us here by selecting join an office hour. And as you can see, our upcoming office hour sessions are located here. And so you would just simply click on it. So for example, Europe and Eurasia, this is scheduled for Monday, March 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard. So I'd just click on that and put my email, first name, last name, and that's it. You'll receive a notification with a Zoom link when it's time for the office hour to begin. So that's all for now. I'm going to bring it back to Aphrodita.
Thank you, Kim. That was hopefully useful for our applicants to learn how to navigate the website, because it is a lot of information. And I know that Kim went through the application timeline briefly, but I would like to invite Jacqueline just to give us an overview of the application timeline.
Thank you, Aphrodita. So before we conclude today, we just wanted to give you a better idea of what happens during the application cycle, because this is a question program staff often get of what's happening to my application when, and so this is just to give you a better understanding of that. As most of you know by now, in February of 2021 is when the awards catalog is open and the application becomes available, which we do know the application is now open for this awards cycle. So applicants are welcome to work on their applications throughout the spring and summer, and the deadline, as we've mentioned earlier in this presentation, is September 15th, so make sure everything you have is submitted by then. From there, program staff at IIE conduct a technical review. This is just to make sure your application is complete and able to be reviewed, so if anything's missing or we need something different, staff will follow up with you. From there, applications go to the U.S. peer review phase, where Fulbright alumni who are in your discipline will review applications to determine whether or not applications are recommended. So in the Fulbright Scholar Program, if you're recommended, it basically means you're shortlisted for your award, or in other words, your application is approved to move on to the next phase. So usually those take place throughout the fall, and sometime, usually by the end of the year, if not in early January, you will receive an update to your application status to let you know whether or not you've been recommended. From there, recommended applications are sent to Fulbright offices around the world, so this is a very big undertaking for us, and also to the Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board, for whose ultimate final approval is necessary from the U.S. Department of State. And once those review committees are done as well, final decisions are made. As you can see, we give a pretty wide window during which this happens, from January through April, because it does vary pretty widely, depending on how much time is necessary for country programs to conduct their review and other factors as well. So once those final decisions are made, applicants are notified of their final selection status, whether or not they're actually selected for a Fulbright Award. And then from that point forward, selectees are able to prepare for departure and make all the arrangements that are necessary for them to take on their activities in the following academic year. So that is the application cycle. And from there, I'd like to pass it back to Aphrodita.
Thank you, Jacqueline. And moving on, I just wanted to highlight links that Kimberly already mentioned, the Connect with Fulbright. So we strongly encourage you to sign up for our listserv, and then you will be receiving updates, a webinar invitation, office hours invitation, monthly resources, and so many other useful information to prepare you for success, for a successful application. So also, you can always email us, europeeurasia@iie.org, with any questions. You can join our office hours, I strongly recommend, because sometimes you can just listen in what other colleagues are asking. And you can always ask questions. This is going to be a live interactive office hour every Monday from 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And I will be hosting that and would be happy to answer your questions. And then you can always refer your colleagues, if you know of your qualified colleagues who are interested to apply, you can always refer them to us and we will reach out to them directly. You can follow us on social media. We have a very active social media on all these four platforms, and then learn more about the Fulbright program. Now, I would like to start to answer some of your questions. I know we have tried to answer some of your questions live as we were discussing, but we do have some specific ones that we wanted to respond to you live. So basically, let's start with the first one. Is there an award with a timeline that could work for me? Since I missed the September 2020 deadline, am I out of luck? Anything I can apply for soon and use the August-September 21? Unfortunately, that was from the previous application cycle, 21-22, so now we are offering opportunities for the application cycle 2022-2023. So if you are selected, you would be traveling, depending on when the award will start, but you would be traveling in the fall of 2022. So this, unfortunately, you want to reapply for this upcoming application cycle, not for the past one. It's not possible. Can applicants apply for more than one award in a given year? This is a great question. You can only apply to one award per application cycle, and in many cases for one country in that award. Because keep in mind, we do have some multi-country awards in Europe, like the one with Spain and Greece, or Iceland and Greece, or the Schumann Awards, that you can make your project in maybe two members of the European Union countries. So this is, you want to look for that and only apply to one award per application cycle. Who should write the reference letters? That's a great question. So one letter should come from your current home institution. especially if you're applying for teaching awards, someone who knows your teaching capabilities, and another one should come from your colleague outside your home institution, so someone that you have collaborated in the past. Can community college faculty apply to programs even if it is not specified with a grant? So again, it depends. Again, we are encouraging more and more community colleges, faculty and administrators to apply, but you want to check with us if you're not sure if the country, you know, is welcoming. But they should, most of the countries are welcoming also community college faculty, because, you know, they want to have diverse representation of the U.S. higher education in their countries. Is there any opportunity for people with PhDs in folklore? So there are some countries that do have folklore as a priority discipline, but again, look for the old discipline awards. If that country does not offer a specific one just for folklore, look for the old discipline award and then check with the host institutions, possible hosts, that to see if this project would be feasible in this country. How do you recommend working to generate a letter of invitation from a host university? So you want to reach out to your host and you want to just send them your resume and send them a summarized project idea, see if that interests them and if they're interested to host you. And then once you have like a few exchange of emails and conversations, if there is an interest from their side to host you, then they will issue a letter of invitation. We do have also specific guidelines, as Kim was showing you, our website. Look for more specific information, or always you can email us with follow-up questions.
Aphrodita, if I may.
Sure.
Yes. I'm putting a link, because I've seen a couple of questions in the question box. I'm putting a link in the chat regarding how to develop contacts abroad, so this should be helpful when determining how to solicit a letter of invitation.
Perfect. Thank you, Kim. If you want to take also the next question about the interview component, is there an interview during the process? And is there such a component? Are there preparation materials? So if you want to just cover that, because I know you went through the website, and I just wanted to ask you to give them more information about the, if there is an interview, what is the application, and yeah, any other information regarding the application process.
Sure. So this is going to be dependent upon the award that you're applying to. So it's going to be important to go through each of the tabs for the awards. For example, for the Fulbright Public Policy Program to Ukraine, there could be an interview component. But if there is, you'll definitely want to go through each of the tabs to determine what the requirements are and what the expectation is going to be.
Thank you, Kim. Great. And the next question that I want to address is, what does the flex option mean? That is a multiple visit or travel in the host country within the span of 2 years. So let's say if the grant length is for 3 months, your project is for 3 months, and you can do the flex option in that country, you can go for up to 3 times, or maybe depending on how many times the country allows, but let's say 3 times back and forth in the country within the span of 2 years. So you don't have to do this in 3 months, but you can just spread these 3 months within 2 years. And at the same time, this is an opportunity for you to come back home and continue with your work here, and then go back and finish your Fulbright. Any changes to the award timeline that have been made due to COVID? So basically, keep in mind that this competition, this application, is for 2022-2023. So if you are selected, you will be traveling the next fall. So we are planning with this timeline that we just explained, and there are no changes as of now, but of course, you know, you'll be informed. So more specific questions about specific disciplines. So there are some specific studies. We have a question about from an historian of Ireland and Irish migration, are there research awards I can apply for? The old discipline is Celtic studies only for people who study language. Is there a benchmark for the distinguished chair awards? And where can we learn more about the website? I said it did not have authorization to the web page. All right, so if you're having technical difficulties accessing some part of the website, please do let us know and email us europeeurasia@iie.org. But basically, regarding your question about the discipline in Ireland, I would suggest that you, if you cannot find specifically the to apply for the Celtic studies, then you want to consider the old discipline, which is a more open-ended and welcomed application in all discipline. But again, you want to check with the Celtic Studies and with the host institution if they would accommodate your application and your project. I have a few invites from the past. How do I handle this? Do want to honor the request? Could affect standing. So basically, if you always need to have a current invitation. Regardless if you have some invitations from prior years of application, you want to make sure, and we only accept the current this year's invitation letters. So, all right, we have a question about the Burma, but that's in a different region, so I would not like to answer that because I'm not expert in other regions, but we have my colleague, hopefully Jacqueline is answering you on that. All right, we did respond to their recommendation letters. Great. If the grant is 4 to 5 months, do you get to choose which semester you are in the country? So I believe Kimberly is answering that, but depending again on the country, what is their preference? Sometimes they would specify if you should start in the fall or in the spring, or any specific time. But if you don't see that information, if they don't have any preference, then probably it is okay for you to apply. And again, just answering this question, we just answered, can I apply to more than one award? You can only apply to one award per application cycle. All right, so I think we got to all the questions. Kimberly or Jacqueline, am I missing any questions?
Those are all of the questions that I see in the chat. I just wanted to remind everyone, I put a link to the office hours in the chat box, so we definitely encourage you to join our office hours. They start the week of March 1st, and you're able to register now.
Great. Thank you, Kimberly. And Jacqueline, if you'd like to add anything?
No, I don't think I have anything to add. I mean, I know you've heard us mention this quite a few times, but I can't stress enough how valuable of a resource the office hours are. Whether you have a question yourself or you want to simply hear the answers to other people's questions, that can be a really easy way for you to learn a lot about the program and strengthen your application.
Great, thank you. And in the meantime, we did receive a few additional questions about, again, just to confirm, that you can only apply to one award and you can only submit one application per application cycle. And I know we have a question about how many applicants we receive each year. Unfortunately, we cannot disclose that information, but again, focus on the quality of the applications, follow our guidelines that we just went through, and contact us, email your host, and just, you know, try to put all the information together, because this is now a good time for you to start the application. You still have enough time to do all this work, and always consult with us if you have any questions. So I would like to thank you all for your attention and interest in applying to the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program. We're looking forward to receiving your follow-up questions, and have a wonderful rest of the afternoon. Bye, everyone.